I'm here with historian Norbert Sheeran, who's been kind enough to join me here in Merlin Woods to talk about the Friends of Merlin Woods. And you were just showing me a couple of very old gravestones.
Yes, there are two flat gravestones embedded into the ground, and they're at the back of a financial building here on the grounds of Merlin Park Hospital. They're dated 1650. Certainly one of the graves is dated 1650, and the other grave doesn't have a date on it. Now, the local heritage officer with Galway City Council, Jim Higgins, has examined the site, and he gave me some descriptions of what is engraved on them. And one of them has a Calvary cross of Latin type and the outline form of a stepped base. Bear in mind that these graves are lying flat on the ground. They're not standing stones, or they're not like the normal graves you might find in a normal cemetery. He also says that there are vocational symbols engraved on one of the slab stones. And by that he means that it's a plough sock, a plough coulter, and a shoeing or setting stone symbolising a cartwheel. So it might mean that there was probably somebody with farming background or farming experience buried there. Now, also there's the unmarked grave then has a plain cross on a step base. When the Blakes had the house, they were all the time having parties. And there's reputedly a girl fell over a banister, one of the servants, and she was killed. And she was buried on the grounds immediately. And they put a slab over her grave. Mary McManus was her name. And on the slab, it's supposed to be Mary McManus, Virgin, 1812 or 1814. I'm not sure of the date. Now, the fact that it's mentioned as Virgin, I suppose they mean Miss, that she wasn't married or whatever. Now, her grave is supposed to be somewhere near those two graves. Where history and folklore merge, sometimes you get a very strange result. And this is where it's saying that they're reputed to be the graves of an innkeeper and his wife. Now, also Jim Higgins examined the site here, and he found that there was evidence of a dwelling house, which is now covered in ivy. And he found a window, or evidence of a window, perhaps a door, and certainly a place where there was a gate, which could be for letting animals through or whatever. So he was convinced that there was some type of dwelling house on the site. As I say, it probably has sunk into the ground now, and probably the window is near to the ground more than what it should have been when it was a fully functional house. But the folklore aspect of it is that it's supposed to be the grave of an innkeeper and his wife. And in 1650, or thereabouts, they had been murdered, it is claimed, by Cromwell's troops who were coming in from North Mayo into Galway. And seemingly this was their route into the city at the time. I suppose they were looking for alcohol. But the innkeeper and his wife were speaking Gaelic or Irish, and they were speaking English, and there was confusion and communications problems. And the innkeeper and his wife were offering them a juk ishka, which is the Irish for drink of water. Juk is drink and ishka is water. And it's reputed that that's where the area behind us here, immediately behind us where the graves are located, is called Duchishka. So that's where the folklore blends with it. But bear in mind, I think that would be slightly questionable, because whilst it's engraved 1650, Cromwell's troops didn't come to Galway until 1652. So that's where it's a little bit of folklore and local lore, which really isn't historically true.
They're right here. We're looking at their graves. You know, they have a story. This girl who died tragically has a story.
Well, I think even the fact that the Blakes were one of the famous families in Galway.
Yeah, you know, one of the famous tribes.
And in the east side of Galway, they don't really look after the history that well. A lot of it's focused on the city, or you know, so I think we need to focus more on this side of the city as well. You know, we have a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, in the year 2000 I wrote a book, you see, on the history of the eastern side of the city. It was more or less to highlight what already is there and to preserve whatever artifacts or historical sites or whatever is still there to make sure that at least they won't be forgotten about or missed out.
Well, what was the title?
It was called Renmore and Its Environs, Long Live Yesterday.
Oh, what a great title.
Because there's a big military barracks as well.
Of course there is.
Not far from here.
That's right, that would be included.
There's a lot of history in the area.
There's an awful lot of history in this area here.
It really is.
But certainly from the point of view of people who work here, and I have the experience of working here on the Merlin Park site in the grounds, and actually the environment that you're working in, it means an awful lot to your mental health and well-being.
Oh, it does, yeah.
Because it's so relaxing. It's lovely to look out the window and see green grass, green trees, hedgerows, whatever is out there.
And the patients.
Oh, absolutely, from
a patient's
point of view.
You know, it must make them get better quicker.
Of course it does.
Convalescence will be part of it. If you can look out and see wildlife out in front of you, you know, out the window when you can
and
look out.
They believed it so much back in the day where we didn't have pills we were convinced could fix you. We thought much more about the mental well-being of people.
Yeah, and fresh air.
When President James Garfield got shot in America, he got shot at a train station in Washington, D.C., they took him to the Jersey Shore because they said, well, put him on the beach, let him look at the water and smell the salt there.
Yeah.
It didn't help him. Unfortunately, the doctors killed him, basically, because I kept probing him with dirty fingers. This is 1881.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was happier there than he would have been still being poked and prodded. I mean, I always think, gosh, if I ever get sick, I don't want to lay looking at drop ceiling for my last days in a hospital. I'd like to have a window to look out. And that window, when that's your last view of the world, maybe, you want it to be something that's nice.
Something
you
nice,
You want to see a red squirrel. Can't get that any other way. You can't get it off a computer screen or off TV or, even hearing a song. I mean, I've been here for just a few minutes and the woods clearly have a song all their own. I'm wearing headphones so I can... You can hear everything going, and there's already a few cars there, but they're at least in the distance.
Yes.
They're not cutting right through the heart of it. So.
And that's it. When you get deeper into the woods, it's just like you are cut off.
And isolated from
the outside
world,
influences, you know. And, you know, I bring people on a walking group on a Tuesday morning, you know. And
on the grounds here?
In through the woods.
Yes.
And I bring them for a walk, and I go, you know, this is a really nice place to walk. And some of them may never have gone into the woods before. Mm. They might walk up and down the Dowishka Road or wherever, but never go into the woods. So I always bring them into the woods. And they're like, this is amazing. I never knew this was here. You know, because our council don't really promote the woods.
Yeah.
They just don't.
It reminded me of the Walden Woods Project in Massachusetts. Don Henley of Eagles started that because Thoreau wrote there. This is my fourth trip to Ireland. And I always try to go and do something that's off the beaten path.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because there's always plenty of people to try to protect the Cliffs of Moher, which they always remind me of the Palisades that we have in New Jersey looking across to Manhattan. They didn't mine those for a long time.
Yeah.
And they stopped it and they preserved it because somebody owned all of it. I want to say it was Vanderbilt, but one of the big families back then of the Gilded Age. And he didn't want to look at any houses on the other side. So he bought them and had them all demolished.
Yes.
And we have, you know, some ruins that are 150 years old, which is nothing compared to over here, but it's you know, everybody's always going to be there to protect the Cliffs of Moher, but little spots like this where, you know, the people don't have anybody to speak for them before, and, you know, that's why I wanted to talk to you about Friends of the Woods, because you hear it and you think, well, okay, why do woods need friends? You wouldn't think anybody, they're either here or not here, and they're, you know, but then you think about how easily this site could just be paved over.
That's kind of where Friends of Merlin Woods started, because we knew that there was a lot of people using the woods, but we knew that nobody had a voice. But if you could bring a group of people together that use the woods and love the woods, then we become a stronger unit, you know. People from Renmore, Ballyban, Merview, Dowishka, they all use the woods and they love it, you know. There's lots of groups that use it. And once we set up the page, you know, within a week or so, there were 700 people straight onto the page going, wow.
That's wonderful,
and, you know, people have put pictures on it. You know, we've identified, since we set up the page in October, we've identified over 20 different species of birds.
Wonderful,
We've recorded the red squirrel, you know, and the red squirrel is endangered species.
That's correct.
The gray squirrel's not pushing them out.
The red squirrel.
And now the black squirrel.
Not so bad in this side of the country. They're kept at bay by the Shannon River. But if they can cross the Shannon, which they will inevitably, the gray squirrel, then the red squirrel will become under threat. So it's very important to keep that species protected, you know.
Of course, yeah.
And we've just identified another one now, just there yesterday as well.
So I see.
A male and a female, and she was pregnant.
A breeding pair.
So everyone's waiting to see the babies.
Right.
Because she was pregnant as well there, just after Paddy's Day. So she's supposed to have them after Paddy's Day. We would have done the bumblebee, you know, where you identify and that, but there's been loads of bumblebees, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of them now are one variety, but we did see one or two more, you know, of different varieties.
Butterflies are things people relate to, and, you know,
yeah, they're
more
beautiful,
than the bees,
you know.
Kids can chase them and look, and you mentioned before about the kids, or about kids that might live around here, and speaking as a kid who grew up going into the woods and now goes back and sees a lot of those places now are houses or, you know, paved over or whatnot, they have a right to be able to go out there and wander.
Oh, definitely, and we have a school that uses them, you know, the Merlin Wood School goes in there all the time. You know, it goes in there, like every week they'll go in for a nature walk, you know, and it means they have a facility there to take the kids in, and it's a safe environment for them. If they put a road through that, that takes away that safe environment. It also creates a pollution factor and a noise factor as well, you know. So, and then there's all the, you know, the different groups that use it, like the Brownies, the Scouts, the Pope John Paul Centre, which is a it's a home for physically and mentally disabled people. So they would walk in the woods. So they would like nothing better than to have a nice, quiet area to walk and feel safe. But the fact that they might now put a bus corridor which they call it a bus corridor, but we call it a road, because once you put anything that resembles a road in, you have use of joyriders, people that run. Taxi drivers will want to use it at busiest times. It'll also run down between a school and a playground, so you'll have to cross from the school to the playground. You'll have to cross this bus route, so it's a ridiculous
suggestion, really.
Ridiculous suggestion. Plus that the easiest way they could do it and the cheapest option is to just finish the one from the end of the Dublin motorway there, you know, go around the corner.
Oh, there's another option already.
There's already another option.
Of course there is, yeah.
Do you know, it saves cutting down hundreds and hundreds of trees, do you know?
And there's not that many. I mean, I obviously just had to fly over Ireland to get to Dublin and you fly back. There's not a lot of spaces like that where you can go and just see some woods.
And
a place that's not managed. When we talked about the wind here before, you don't get that in a museum, as great as a museum is.
You can't replace 200-year-old trees.
Not at
you
all.
Know?
Yeah, no.
You know, and you know, that's the problem in this place, is that if the road will damage some 200-year-old trees, you know.
Of course.
And you know, we were just talking about the squirrels, which, you know, it may not mean a lot to people, but everything that's natively Ireland, you have a right to fight for. People are going to want to keep. And you know what happens to squirrels and roads.
Yeah, so we know that's exactly it. You know, we have foxes and badgers and all sorts of things, do you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we haven't, like, we've only been trying to identify the wildlife since last October, so we're only just getting started, really, do you know.
I understand, yeah.
So we may find pine martens as well. And
you probably wouldn't. Yeah,
you know,
probably
there's been reports of them.
Yes, I'm just looking at a study here that was done in the 1970s by Brady Shipman and Martin, the Ecology of Merview and Renmore. And they're just talking about land management here, and they're mentioning that 1830s, a lot of the trees were already planted by the 1830s.
Yeah.
So they go back quite a long time.
Yeah.
A lot of farming around here. There was a number of big houses. Merlin Park House, Ross Hill House, which is still there.
Yeah.
Merview, which is still there. It's Tara Hall. Renmore House, which is incorporated into the Holy Family School, which is a school for mildly handicapped people. And Renmore Cottage, which is now gone, sadly. But there were the five big houses. And then there was a lot of church land around here. The Round Tower at Roscam, which is across the road from Merlin Park Woods. And it's evidence there of a fairly important
There's a lot of history
site.
Around this area, you know, which doesn't get enough.
The importance of this particular document is that it's a scientific document.
Yeah.
It stands alone as a scientific study done by experts in the field of ecology.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be quoted when any arguments are being presented regarding the land, the value of it, and the importance of it. So at least...
Yeah, it's good to have a document like that.
It is, yeah, it is. And that's owned by the Renmore Residents Association.
Yeah.
I have them at home myself.
Very good.
They were commissioned by a group who used to run a bingo competition every Wednesday back in the 1960s. And when they disbanded, they had quite a lot of money left over, and they said, what do we do with this money? Because it's not our money, but it's probably community money. And they decided and they voted to have a study like this prepared and done and paid for.
That's great.
Which was invaluable.
Oh, it is.
Invaluable. Because you can quote from a scientific document like that.
Well, there's a lot of history in the Merlin Woods. So what you have is you have all these walls going through it, which is very, very odd to find in a woods anyway, you know.
Hmm.
So some of the walls look very old, don't they? They're like very...
They do.
I don't know, what year do you think?
They were, well, they were probably boundary land, because Merlin Park, as I said, was built in 1811, 1812. But prior to the building at all of that, there may have been families here. There may have been people farming on the
land. There's quite a lot of ruins, you know, within the park itself, and there's walls everywhere.
Then boundary walls, I presume.
You have the castle then, and the castle dates back to...
The castle would date back to the 16th century. even earlier.
Yeah.
Norman Tower.
Yeah.
The Norman Tower, once known as Merlin Old Castle,
okay.
They called it. In 1564, it was owned by Nicholas Fitzjohn Blake. Now, he would have been a branch of the Blakes who later built Merlin Park House. But that was 1564. In 1580, it was passed on to his daughter, Evelyn. She was the wife of John Lynch Fitzrichard Fitzsander. Very, very strange wow. names. Close to the old castle of Merlin Park, or Merlin Castle, the Norman Tower, there was quite an abundant flowing waterfall back in the 1850s. And the water used to flow down across where the Dublin Road is now. We call it the Dublin Road. And it was sloping land down to the sea. And it used to gather at Ballylochon, which is a beach area, Ballylochon Beach. And it was used for watering the livestock of the farmers who were working there and living there. Now, when they were building the railway line in 1850s Ireland, they were putting a large embankment up so as to locate the tracks. But they had to, as well as building a bridge for traffic to flow, they were mentioned by the farmers, said, well, what about the water from the Merlin Woods, which comes in into the lock at the side of the beach? So beside the Ballylochon Bridge, we call it,
yeah.
There's another smaller little bridge down below. Have you ever seen it?
Oh, no, I haven't.
The very same lovely carved stone. Oh. And that was to facilitate the water, which no longer flows, but to come down through. They had to leave access for that.
Wow.
That's still there.
Because they actually took the river away as well from the woods, you know, because there was flooding some land they wanted to develop. So they just
redirected it.
They actually lowered the water table. So now we have no river going through the woods anymore. And this is something that we'd love to see reinstated, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But that'll be another battle, you know.
Yeah.
But now we have like a very polluted bit of water that comes out of pipe, you know, through the woods, which isn't very good for wildlife.
I know, yes,
you know?
Yeah. And between 1653 and 1655, the Lynches were dispossessed of their lands. The castle lost its roof to the Cromwellian soldiers in the 1650s. His grandson refurbished it, and he took up residence there in 1731. And then it was known as Duchishka Castle.
How did it get the name Merlin?
Merlin is an anglicisation of the word Merlin. Mer meaning sea, and Lin meaning pool. And there was evidence that water used to seep up through the ground near where the entrance is. And that's why they were calling it Merlin. Have you come across that before, Kathy?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
What I also heard was the Merlin story. Do you remember, I think it was maybe yourself, the link with the Knights of the Round Table?
Oh, yes, I have some reference
to
that.
So that
was
kind of another folklore.
Tossed in. Well, it's better than saying the English did it. You only did that.
Yes. Well, it's like Dublin, which is the capital of Ireland, Dublin. Now, Ballochlea is not an exact translation of Dublin. Dublin means Dove Lynn, black pool. Dove is black in Irish, and Lynn is pool.
Yeah.
Same as here, as in Merlin.
Merlin. Plus you also have, like, over at Roscann there as well, you have that would have been a big kind of shipping port as well, wouldn't it?
It would, yeah. There's a little pier over there.
There's a big quarry here as well, Merlin Quarries.
There is, yeah.
And a lot of the stone there would have been used in Galway Cathedral, would have been used in...
Even Stormont in Stormont, Northern Ireland.
In Limerick, I think it was used. Very good quality stone.
Yeah, it was described to me one time by one of the stone cutters who worked in the marble quarry that it was soft marble. In other words, it's easily cut into slabs. Now, still, it was very hard, but it was just in the quality of marble. It would be much softer than granite, we'd say. The evidence on the marble from that quarry, it's black in colour, but there's quite a lot of fossils in it.
Yeah.
As in shells. And so it was evidence that the sea probably was up there at some stage, way back in eons ago.
And you find that as well, you know, sometimes if you look at the walls around the woods itself, and if you look inside some of the filler rocks, you know, the kind of stuff they'd use to fill in the inside of the walls, you'd find a lot of sandy, shaley kind of stuff there as well, you know.
So the castle residence taken up by Francis Blake and his grandson in 1731, and it was known as Duchishka Castle at that time. And he died, the man that refurbished it, died in 1763. And in 1853, it was bought by Henry Hudson. And Henry Hudson was the man who bought the encumbered estate of Merlin Park House. Obviously, it didn't include the land with the castle around it, but seemingly The following year, he bought, he was a wealthy industrialist, this man Hodson, he bought the castle. Now, whether he ever dwelt in it or not, I think he probably bought it just for the land around it. But then he died quite young.
And this is an amazing spot in the sense that you'd never know it was here. It's behind a hospital and some administrative buildings, and unfortunately there's some trash that just blew over it. It's not as if it's a historic site. I'm positive it's not on any tour. And
oh, it's not.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing that, you know, somebody wants to build on it, they would just probably hide it from the local historical society and pave it. And
yes. Well, I used to work here on this particular hospital. I'm retired now, but I worked here, and I made sure that the administration and the people in charge here knew that there are two graves on the ground here, so that if they ever are going to extend the building, they won't cover them up or cover them over. So that's the story of the graves. Now, there's a third grave reputed to be on the site of in Merlin Park. Merlin Park House was an old stately home here, and it was built in 1812 or 188, 9, 10, 11, 12, around that time, for the Blake family, one of the tribes of the city. And they vacated it in 1652, or 1852, I beg your pardon. And it was sold in the encumbered courts because they were running out of money. They squandered their money or their wealth quite considerably. Built between 1808 and 1812, as I said, for the Blake family, at a cost of £12,000, that would be pounds sterling at the time, by a man, Charles Blake. And he could trace lineage back to the Knights of the Round Table. And he came to Ireland, their family came to Ireland with Strongbow, the Normans. One of the tribes of the city, a very influential family, the Blakes. The house originally stood on 1,109 acres, three roods and eight perches. 224 acres was arable land. 5 acres of roads and drives. 4 acres of gardens and orchards. Which were surrounded by a 15-foot high wall. Over 100 acres were under plantation. The Blakes squandered their wealth and in 1852 sold in the encumbered courts for £8,000, so a loss of £4,000. And Henry Hodson, a wealthy industrialist who made his money from sulphur mining, bought it. But he died a young man in the late 1800s. In 1876, Robert Waitman bought Merlin Park. In 1883, his son married a lady called Lady Philippa Stanhope, and they were given Merlin Park House as a wedding present. And the house and lands then passed on to his son, Wyndham Waitman, the last owner, who was in residence here with his wife, his second wife, Dricka. In the 1940s, Ireland was in the grip of the TB epidemic. An approach was made by the then Board of Health to the Waitmans, seeking to purchase the house. Now, according to Mrs. Waitman, and I have the taped interview with her, she's passed on, but she said that the government brought in legislation where they could actually buy your house and you had no recourse. You were just given a fee, an amount of money, and that was it. And they bought it. And, of course, they demolished it. We can't blame them for that, I suppose, because if you were dealing with tuberculosis, you want to start from a green field site and build from the ground up and be sure that everything is as sanitised and clean as possible to get rid of the disease. So unfortunately they had to demolish the house. It was a fine house. It was on an elevated site, you see, and it would have beautiful views over Galway Bay, because whilst there's a huge housing estate across the road from the hospital here now, when it was built and even when the Waitmans were there, none of that building programme had started. So they would have enjoyed superb views right over the sea out onto Galway Bay. And I'm sure it was a very imposing building now to see it. You know, I'm sure it looked lovely.
And the entrance was supposed to be very grand as well.
It was a grand entrance to it, yeah. It was quite ornate and quite nice. Wyndham Waitman, when they sold the house, I think her description of it was that they were approached by the officials from the Board of Health and they said, well, look, if it's going to save a life, we'll sell it. And they very graciously sold it for £15,000, which wouldn't have been near the value of it at the time, I presume, but that was in the 1940s in Ireland, post-war. And then they moved across the road to a house called Murrow House, which is another fairly old stately home across the railway line. There's a railway line running between here and the sea. They bought that house. Wyndham Waitman was a very inventive man. He was an engineer, he was in the British Army, he was a recruiting officer for the First World War. I met him once. We were trying to mount a campaign for Galway to have a museum. There was no museum in the city at that time. They moved across to that house then until he died in 1979. And then Mrs. Waitman moved back into the grounds of Merlin Park, and she was living in a little cottage, which is now burnt down. But it was built by Waitman, Mr. Waitman, Wyndham Waitman, Captain Wyndham Waitman himself, or he got somebody to build it for people who were working on the ground. So there was a strange irony that she was back with Merlin Park House gone.
Yeah.
The foundation for the sanatorium was laid in 1948, and the first patients were admitted in 1954. So that's the history of the house. I suppose the fact that the house is no longer there, it nearly accentuates its importance. They have the capacity, that's our local authority, to damage something irreparably, and I'm sorry to have to say that, because Eyre Square is at the centre of Galway City, and it had most ornate railings around
it. Yeah, it's beautiful.
And what they've done to it now, architecturally, if that's the right way, or on a, from a landscape point of view, they have globalised the square. It could be anywhere in the world. It has very little natural anything to suggest where it is, except for a large sculpture of the sails.
Sails, yeah.
Which are nice. But the lovely railings that were around it, it gave it a unique character.
Yeah,
it's like removing railings from any public park. It was a pity that they were removed.
Yeah.
An awful pity. So with regard to that, I'm afraid they have the capacity to destroy something without thinking too much about it. But hopefully...
Hopefully we'll make them feel sense.
Exactly.
You know,
sense. Yeah, absolutely. I think the idea is to get the road removed from the city development plan.
That's the idea, yeah.
That's the idea. Get it removed off it.
Because when they actually put it in, they were thinking about... There was no houses around a lot of the woods at that time. Mm. A lot of it was just... So nobody really maybe did use the woods at that time, only maybe kids and things used to run into it.
Yes.
But there's a lot more people using it now because the housing... And those people need the woods. That's their escape. You know, people haven't got the money these days to get into the car, drive 10 miles out the road to go to a nice place or... You know,
yes.
Get away from the sound of the traffic. Hmm. We have it here in Merlin Woods. We have
exactly.
The peace and quiet. You know, in another 10 years, we'll have even more housing. So Merlin Woods will become a massive asset to the city of
Galway. Absolutely.
A massive asset. You know, it'll become an important tourist area for the city.
Of course.
Yeah. It'll
and that
bring
seems
people.
A magic word right now in Ireland and part of the economy.
Yeah.
And
especially with this gathering.
Yeah.
You know.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, but how many names have you just mentioned? Somebody can trace back the... ancestry of this girl whose grave is missing out
there. Mary McMahon.
Yeah. Mary McMahon.
People come through, you tell them just leave what you bring, footprints, don't walk here, don't.
Yeah.
It is a great place to go. Yeah.